a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. USC's in the Pac-12 championship game. They had to sit back on Saturday and figure out who they were going to play. And Utah, thanks to a lot of other schools and a Oregon meltdown, is now in the Pac-12 championship with a rematch against USC. Jordan Moore, sideline reporter for USC, kind enough to join us. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, Jordan.
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, so I've got to imagine that USC, in hopes of putting together the best resume they possibly could for the college football playoff committee, were they kind of hoping it would be Utah so that they could beat Utah to say, hey, look, yeah, we lost in Salt Lake, but when we played for a conference championship, we got the win? Or would they have preferred Oregon? What were they rooting for in terms of matchups?
I mean, who knows? They never admit their deepest, darkest secrets. They'll always just say they'll play whoever's in front of them. But I certainly wanted Utah. From my perspective, I just think the narrative going in is a little bit more interesting as a revenge game for USC and a chance, as you said, to wipe off the one loss of the season, which was, you know, such a wild game to begin with. So, just sort of looking forward to part two of that game and always enjoy the matchup between USC and Utah.
What would you say is USC's best win this year?
I would say, well, that's a good question. I think the one that mattered probably the most was the one at Oregon State in terms of bringing together this team that was, I mean, Lincoln Riley went into the year and said, the hardest thing to do this year is going to be putting this team of transfers and freshmen and holdovers that weren't recruited by this staff together and have them play as a team. And I think Oregon State was that galvanizing moment because the offense played really poorly that day. Caleb, that was the one sort of dud game of the year for him. And they still found a way to gut it out in a difficult atmosphere. And the defense really did it that day. And they survived from there. They really found their stride and played pretty well. I mean, the other, you know, truly great game was the UCLA one. But at that point, I sort of expected that to be a shootout. And, you know, USC sort of won because Caleb was better than DTR. So that one sort of surprised me less. But the way they just sort of kind of miraculously dug out the Oregon State one, I think, kind of set the table for the whole season.
What do you feel like went wrong for USC against Utah, and how do you feel like they'll address that going into round two?
Well, what went wrong is a guy named Dalton Kincaid. Basically, I mean, there were two issues in that game. One was Dalton Kincaid, and the other was QB run game. And I don't know what the solution necessarily is. USC has really patched it together on defense all year. It's you know, they didn't bring in necessarily the talented transfers. They brought in some veteran guys who've really helped, but they didn't bring in like a Caleb Williams or Jordan Addison on defense. You know, there's the All-American is going to be Tuli Tuipulotu, and he's a holdover, and probably the second best player is Kalen Bullock, and he's a holdover. So, you know, it was a defense that was really struggled last year, and Alex Grinch has kind of had to make it work week in and week out, and you saw that in the Utah game. There just were not a lot of great matchups for Dalton Kincaid, and they really struggled to stop Cam Rising running the football in the sort of QB power run game on the biggest downs of the game. So, you know, those are the two issues. I imagine they will still be issues. I think the biggest thing from USC's perspective and looking at that first game and, you know, what could be different. I mean, there were two major things that went against USC in that game, two rough in the passer calls. One that flipped a turnover and one that would have been a punt and instead ends up as a touchdown. So, you know, there's some little things there that if they can get the brakes to go their way a little bit this time, you know, maybe that's the difference, because there was not a lot between those two teams in the first meeting.
Teach us a little bit more about Austin Jones. I'm curious because Dye was such the story when we were researching USC getting ready for that game. And I know Jones has always been around and available, but he did some amazing things the last couple of weeks where he was given 20 plus carries. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, I mean, Stanford runner. I mean, just power runner. You know, the kind of guy that you've seen from Stanford in recent years. And what's been great about him, I mean, he was kind of on ice for most of the middle of the season because Travis was so good. But the fact that he came in at this time and is a veteran, it's such a difference maker as opposed to having to turn to somebody with no experience. I mean, Austin Jones led the conference in touchdowns during the COVID season. So this is a guy who's had some real quality football behind him. And, you know, he's a power runner that's going to follow his blocks. And a real strength of this USC team is the offensive line. It's the most underrated part of this USC team. You know, they just have not gotten a lot of credit the last couple of years, but they grade out really well. And in particular, the interior of the offensive line, they dominated Notre Dame. I mean, the story coming in was, you know, Notre Dame will push USC around up front. And that just did not happen in the run game on either side of the ball.
So, again, the obligatory dumb question is, did you see that we all anticipated that this would turn around with the coaching change? I don't think anybody anticipated it would be this quickly, but you get a high-level quarterback like Caleb Williams and a high-level wide receiver in Jordan Addison. Did you anticipate that USC would be where they are right now when those changes came?
I did not. No. I thought they'd be better, as you said. I mean, they won four games last year, so, you know, there were a lot of degrees of better. And so, you know, I thought maybe, you know, 9-10 win kind of team would be a phenomenal accomplishment. And it would have been. And so this is just, you know, above and beyond 11-1. And it's a credit to Lincoln Riley, no doubt, and his staff. You know, Caleb has been even more special than what we thought. We knew he was talented. But, you know, pretty sure he's going to win a Heisman Trophy, which is not something that anyone would have said going into the season. So it's pretty crazy. It's the biggest turnaround from season to season in the USC history, tying the school's record mark there. So it's about as good as it gets. And I've been here for a while, and it's pretty exciting times because it has been some lean years at USC recently.
Well, Jordan, it was spectacular how Lincoln Riley got into the transfer portal and brought in the talent that Scotty was mentioning, just filled this team with talent. And I remember getting ready for that Utah-USC game, and I went through all of the talent that was brought in and where they came from and what they were in regards to where they stood with their stats for USC and their contributions. When you look at this roster and you look at the major contributors, can you think of names that were original USC recruits, or are we looking at 80% transfer portal players making up the bulk of what USC is doing right now?
Yeah, I think the returning play, what's been amazing about this staff was, you know, a lot of new coaches in sports love to come in and basically clean house. And if the first year doesn't go well, they say, it's because the guys I inherited weren't any good. Wait until I get my guys in. And they didn't do that. Now, they brought in some of their guys. They focused on changing the culture. But they have found a role for almost every guy that came back. And that's been the biggest difference. There were a lot of guys that were talented that were just sort of languishing on this roster, you know, either misplaced or misused or underused. And they have found a role for them. And so there's, you know, as I mentioned, I mean, Tuli Tuipulotu leads the nation in sacks. He's going to be, you know, first team All-American. You know, again, he was sort of a tweener on the last staff. They couldn't really find the right position for him. And so, you know, it's a great example. Kalen Bullock, sophomore safety, is a star on this team. He has 5 interceptions, most since Adoree Jackson here. These are guys that came over from other staffs. And then you look at the receiving core, and obviously Jordan Addison's fantastic, and I think Jordan Addison, you know, deserves the publicity he's gotten. But USC didn't skip a beat without him for a month. And that's because guys like Kyle Ford and Taj Washington, you know, stepped up. And those are all guys that were already here. So there were certainly talent on this roster. Most of the offensive line are returners. It was never a lack of talent. I think some guys left that weren't positive influences on the locker room, but the guys that stayed really were. And then they found, you know, roles for these guys to thrive in, and that's coaching.
Do you see, and you know, the point total may not hold up with, you know, 45 against UCLA and 35 against Cal, and 27 against Notre Dame, but do you feel like the defense is rounding into form a little bit coming up through the later stages on hopefully a college football playoff run for USC fans? Or is it going to be kind of duct tape and baling twine the rest of the year?
I think it's a little bit more of the latter. I think this defense probably is what it is at this point. And now that the competition just sort of stays high, I'd be surprised if all of a sudden they, you know, are starting to dominate teams that have really talented offenses. I thought they played pretty well against Notre Dame. That was one of the better games of the season because they were able to take away Notre Dame's strength, which is the run game, and force Notre Dame to try to win through the pass, and ultimately, got the interception that sealed it. But the turnovers have been the key for USC. I mean, that is what has saved them all season. Their turnover margin is an absurd plus 23. It's dwarfs anyone else in the country. And that was the one thing in the Utah game. They were plus one. They got that one in the red zone, but they didn't really get the turnovers that set up momentum scores and things like that. So, you know, I think that has to be the key for this defense, is to get at least 2 turnovers pretty much every game going forward, and just try to make enough plays to put the offense in position to go win it.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Should be a fun one coming up on Friday, and look forward to catching up with you again down the line.
I can't wait. See you guys in Vegas.
Thanks,
Jordan.
You got it.
Jordan Moore, sideline reporter for USC as Utah and USC for a Pac-12 championship game.
Not a lot has changed with what Utah is going to be bringing to the field from what they had against USC last time they saw them. But I do have a couple of thoughts on this, because Cam Rising led the team against USC in rushing last time they played. That's not going to happen. Jaquin and Jackson will be your leading rusher, or should be your leading rusher in that game against USC, with Mekhi Bernard giving a little extra push as Tavian Thomas has moved on from the program. Cam Rising, I think, needs to be more of a pocket presence, still be flexible with his feet to force the defense to be honest, but Cam Rising needs to do what he does in the backfield. Cam Rising had over 400 yards passing the last time they saw USC. He went off 30 of 44 against USC. Dalton Kincaid, his lead target. If you guys remember, record-setting, yes, 234 yards from Dalton Kincaid in that game. He was special. I expect Dalton Kincaid to be on the field for the University of Utah. And I know that he's banged up. I know that he's beat up. But I would expect Dalton Kincaid to do everything that he can to be on the field. If it takes a numbing injection, it happens often, and it is a possibility, and you do what you got to do because it's a championship game.
Yeah, I know everybody was sick to their stomach when he brought down that touchdown They got him to what, to 42-0 at halftime?
Yeah.
That late touchdown, and he rolls over and holds that shoulder, and everybody's like, oh,
dang.
No.
I did highlight that touchdown on film review.
Incredible catch, by the way.
Incredible catch. Really great throw.
Yeah.
But he identified that ball position about 5 yards before the goal line and was able to rotate his body and get around to catch that ball on the other side of his body. It was really pretty. And doing it while a defender was well hung on him. But that was bracket coverage. They ran a bracket coverage. They ran an underneath zone on him, and they had a, I think it was a linebacker, but unless, can a safety wear 42 or 41?
I think so.
So it might be a safety, but with a high number, I couldn't tell. Stayed over the top, and Kincaid actually passed him on the ground, just kind of outran him, and then got in position to make that catch. And big throw by Cam Rising. And how about this? A nice pocket. Set from that Utah offensive line, which is not unfamiliar. That has become very familiar for Cam Rising, sitting in a pretty clean pocket. But there were a few things in that game that were spectacular. R.J. Hubert was great. Cole Bishop was great. But there's also a couple of things that I think have improved. I think now you've got a couple of more games underneath your freshman middle linebacker's belt. And there were a couple of games early in the season where we thought, is Lander Barton really ready for this? I think that he is. I think he is more ready for this than he was that Florida game.
That's a great point.
Opening up. So that could play large. And if I remember right, I don't think Lander Barton did. Yeah, I'll have to go back and look. Lloyd, did Lander Barton play in that game against USC?
I'm almost 90% sure that he did.
That he did?
Yeah, I think he was in that game.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I just don't remember.
Seems like I remember him getting lost a couple times.
Hold on.
I've got my USC notes, and I don't have a single note for Lander Barton. I don't have a note that he was out in that game. I just don't have a single note here from Lander Barton.
He was not listed as DNP, but he had registered no tackles in that game.
I can't remember exactly what happened with
him. He also registered no tackles against Oregon. So, actually, let me... No, he had 3 assisted tackles against Oregon. So that was the only game that he put up no stats on the season.
Okay. So
whether it was limited or usually this list I'm on would list it as a DNP if he did not play.
Okay. So he probably played.
Just didn't have an impact in that game.
And that's all my notes is. My notes are just a compilation of plays that were made.
And considering how slippery Williams was, I mean, not a lot of people tackled him. Didn't seem like.
And you got to remember, I hope that all Utah fans remember The way Utah started that game defensively is not the way Utah ended that game defensively. I think they learned a thing or two on how they want to pursue Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be overly cautious because they do not want Caleb Williams to get outside the outside shoulder of his tackles. When he gets on the outside shoulders of his tackles, big plays are made.
Yeah.
Whether it's with his feet, whether it's with a developing crossing route, a slow go that ends up hitting over the top, that's when Caleb Williams is the most deadly. You keep him in the pocket, keep him contained, try to really press and pressure the pocket down on him, you've got more of a chance. But Caleb Williams is a beautiful quarterback.
By the way, did you see him?
Is he leading the Heisman charge?
He's right up there.
Yeah. Sorry. What'd you say?
I just still can't get Pac-12 Media Day out of my mind.
Yeah,
and he showed up to that game against that last game against Notre Dame. He's got the
outfit was great.
He's like the blazer, but no shirt underneath.
No shirt.
You saw that too,
bling. Yeah, it was something else. I was like, huh?
That young man is enjoying Southern California.
Yes, he is.
Let's just say that.
Do you know he's got 34 passing touchdowns to 3 interceptions.
He's doing the work and the production's there. So what does it matter the image that he's trying to portray off the field? Obviously, he's putting in good work and he's busting his tail.
he is responsible for 44 touchdowns. He's got 10 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he's
guys,
good.
That he's got nearly 4,000 yards and 44 touchdowns.
By the way, you realize that everything is going against the University of Utah going into this game. George Kolopkov is going to do everything he can to make sure USC wins this game. Like everything is again. Now, look, I felt like the other way last year. Like, I thought, honestly, it was probably in the Pac-12's best interest to put Utah in the Rose Bowl because that was their best team last year. They probably wanted Utah because that was the better team out of Oregon and everybody else in the Pac-12. This year, with college football playoff, honestly, Hans, if we were doing a show in Corvallis or we were doing a show in Eugene or wherever, and we're just wanting good things to happen to the Pac-12, we would say USC has to win this game. USC, the Pac-12 desperately needs USC to win this game.
By the way, don't think that they didn't want Oregon in that game because there were some calls that went against Oregon State
that were
atrocious.
I agree. But honestly, if you're talking about what's best for the Pac-12, is USC winning this game and dominating the University of Utah.
Yep.
Like this game really sets up for a USC blowout. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but USC has every single thing to play for. Utah obviously wants to get back to the Rose Bowl, but that's all they're just playing for a championship right now. They don't get a college football playoff. They don't get anything special out of this if they win. I mean, the Rose Bowl's nice, but there's no extra incentive. USC has a Heisman. I don't know when Heisman votes come out, but I'm assuming it'll be after the championship game. The due dates on that. So Caleb Williams is playing for a Heisman Trophy. USC is not only playing for a championship, but USC is playing for a chance to go to college football playoff. The Pac-12 is trying to get some level of respectability back. Everything points to USC getting every single solitary break in this game.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong.
And you just said a Rose Bowl was nice. Think about that for a sec. Yeah. Rose Bowl's great, right? Is it not still a big
deal?
Oh,
it's great.
No, I'm just saying, but it's nice. Exactly. That's where we're at right now.
The Pac-12 doesn't need that.
No.
Yeah. The Pac-12 doesn't need Utah playing in the Rose Bowl. No. The Pac-12 needs USC to be playing in a national championship game.
So
or
I put
a college football
player. And they probably don't want Utah. They actually want Washington in that.
Well, that's who it'll be.
Exactly.
And by the way, props to you for doing the homework on that.
Yeah.
Because I just naturally assumed, if USC goes, Utah was in the conference championship game, they would go to the Rose Bowl. That's not the case. It'll be Washington.
It'd be Washington, who's currently ranked above Utah and would remain ranked above Utah. So they would probably take Washington, which is a two-loss team right now.
Yeah.
One of those losses being Arizona State. Could you imagine being Washington and having that loss on you?
No.
Everything that you've done this season, and you got that stinky loss hanging on you. So I went through the last 4 years of Pac-12 championship games. Utah versus Washington, Utah versus Oregon, Oregon versus USC, Utah versus Oregon, Utah versus USC. That's the last 5 years of Pac-12 championships.
Four out of five.
They're four out of the last five. That is spectacular. Sitting 1-2 in Pac-12 championship games with their most recent being a win, but now on their way, sitting 1-2, their fourth chance at a Pac-12 title and the return to the Rose Bowl, which I guess this is kind of off my cuff. That would be Ohio State, right?
Correct.
So Ohio State's not making it back.
Well, they're not getting the playoff. But I would. But here's the thing, Purdue. So it's the same question I have with Utah. I don't know if the same rules apply to the Pac or for the Big Ten. Because
if they lost,
because Ohio State will not play in the conference championship game. They're playing Purdue. Michigan's playing Purdue.
Right.
So will you assume Michigan's going to beat Purdue? So would Purdue take that spot in the Rose Bowl?
You're probably right.
Or would it be the Pac-12 rules and Ohio State's who's ranked higher?
It would be Ohio State.
Okay. So if the Big Ten has the same rules as the Pac-12, then it would be Ohio State.
It would be Ohio State.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, by the way, make sure to join Jake and Ben Friday from 10 to 12 at the annual Festival of Trees, which benefits kids through Intermountain Primary Children's Hospital and at Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again.
Championship game!
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Jazz on three. One, two, three.
Jazz!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Good. Apparently there's pizza on Lloyd's desk.
Yes, that is the good.
Good night, everybody. We're going to break now.
Here is Kyle Whittingham's presser. I just said, how the heck do people try to make bowl predictions?
I have no idea.
So Brett McMurphy puts a lot of time and effort into it.
And does a good job.
So he's got USC in the college football playoffs. That would put Utah in the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah.
It's amazing what's on the line in this Pac-12 championship. It's
quite a drop-off.
Yeah, you go to a four-loss team. You drop into the Alamo Bowl against Texas, which
rematch,
would be fun.
A rematch with Texas in the Alamo Bowl, right?
Yes.
When Texas blew them out.
Yeah, it would be great to see that. It'd be neat, but such a drop off.
Yeah, I think you used the right word, neat.
It'd be neat.
It's fine.
He's got Utah State to the Severo Pro First Responder Bowl.
Oh, do not want. That's the 27th, right?
That is December 27th.
Oh, I want to play on the 17th. Come on. This is about me and my schedule and how it can be easier for me.
This will be Tuesday, December 27th.
Great. I get back from Hawaii the morning of the 26th, and then I'll have to catch a plane to go to Dallas for the... No!
Against SMU.
No. Do not want.
SMU. I saw you retweet... Oh, actually, we'll get to that tweet, the Hawaii Bowl. That's... Oh, I think I put that in the...
In roulette?
Sports roulette.
Okay.
I think. He's got BYU to the Gasparilla Bowl.
Oh, not Albuquerque.
Not Albuquerque. He's predicting BYU to the Gasparilla Bowl. I'm still thinking it's Albuquerque, but we'll see. And he's got him taking on Central Florida in the Gasparilla Bowl. So there's your local teams, the possibilities of what we could see. Las Vegas Bowl, he's got Oregon State and Ole Miss. That would be a good game.
Do you have that one?
No.
Oh, I thought you had Vegas.
Nope. No, I've got the Idaho Potato Bowl, which would be Eastern Michigan, San Jose State. San Jose State?
You'll enjoy San Jose State.
Well, I'd love to get a good look at this coach you're talking about.
I want you to see their defense. Now, I have heard some rumblings because they've got Cade Hall, one defensive end, and Junior Fajoko, who, by the way, I think Fajoko is going to be in the league for like 10 years. He's a monster. I've heard some rumblings that those guys might sit out the bowl game.
Oh,
so
that would
stink for you.
But I do have the Music City Bowl in Nashville. He's got Kentucky, Minnesota. Be all right.
That's fine. Yeah.
And then the Outback Bowl in Tampa, Florida, South Carolina, Illinois. That would be a pretty good one. Those are the other two.
I don't know. South Carolina's been good. Don't know much about Illinois.
Utah. Take care of business. Get back to the Rose Bowl so we can redeem with some sound and flex our station's muscles.
Yes. Send the army down to Pasadena again. Get some great sound after the game. All right.
Might not be the case. Huh? I don't know.
There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So it's a Monday during college football season, and it's the good, the bad, the ugly. So you know what that means. We're talking about the Broncos doing something poorly again. Denver does lose to Carolina 23-10. And at one point, the defense walking off the field, Mike Purcell, who is the defensive, essentially nose guard for the Broncos defense, starts screaming at Russell Wilson. Russell looks at him and mutters a few words and then comes back out on the field. Asked afterwards, Russell Wilson said, yeah, he was telling me to get out there and go get it done. There are other people that said that the actual words used by Mike Purcell were get out of here, not get out there, but get out of here, as in get off of the team.
Oh, I hope that's what it was.
But I think it's safe to say that that locker room is pretty much fractured at this point.
Oh,
with the Broncos only managing 10 points and really, frankly, a field goal for most of that game coming on a botched, a muffed field goal that Denver was unable to get a touchdown of. They got a field goal and then did not score a touchdown until way late when they were way down in that game. A
couple things about Russell Wilson. Right now he's sitting on an 8-5 touchdown to interception ratio. 8-5 touchdown to interception ratio.
Yeah, wait, give me that one more time.
8 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. That's a bad ratio. The other thing is he's been sacked 35 times.
Wait, what's it? How many was that?
He has been sacked 35 times. They gave up 6 sacks to Tennessee. They've had four games of 4 or more sacks.
Not enough for him to get injured and be done for the year.
Which would be bad if that did happen.
We're not rooting for that.
Nope. Neither one of us are rooting for injuries at all.
Nobody rooting for a retirement-inducing injury. No.
Hey, there is a story in the ugly that maybe I can help you feel a little bit better.
All right.
Because at least this isn't Denver's situation.
Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Deshaun Watson's playing next Sunday.
Ugh. Boy.
Oh, that's Deshaun Watson back on the NFL field against, because the schedulers knew, Houston.
Yeah.
How and why? And who in their right mind would be happy for Cleveland? Are Cleveland fans now just like, well, he didn't molest 24 women? And how is he not charged criminally? Can we please get some details? Because I don't get it, man.
Grand jury didn't think there was enough evidence.
Not a single criminal charge.
No.
I don't understand.
And by the way, his lawyer, who...
I get it that you can settle,
well,
but that's not criminal.
No. Yeah, that's all the civil stuff. But his lawyer said... Just because you're not a good person or doesn't mean you've committed any crimes. Like even his lawyer says, yeah, Deshaun Watson's a dirtbag, but he didn't commit any crimes.
Wait a second. Scotty, if I'm massaging your back,
okay.
And you,
I like where this is going.
Lloyd,
reach
stop
to touch my leg. And I tell you, stop it. And you reach to touch my leg again. How is that not
a crime? Can we role play this?
No,
let's role play.
I want no part of this.
How is that not illegal? And I smack your hand and I'm like, no, and just let me get this knot out.
Scotty, nya-nya.
You've got a crazy knot.
Don't read that out loud, but that's the quote from the lawyer.
Oh, man. Well, so, Scotty, the ugly of the good, bad, and ugly is that Deshaun Watson is going to be on an NFL field.
Yeah.
And if I was one of those 24 women or 27, what did it get up to, 27?
I think 20, yeah, somewhere around there, 26, 27.
I think... Well, I don't know how I'd handle that.
Yeah.
I took a settlement. I have been silenced.
Yeah.
I can no further pursue.
Yeah, because I guarantee you part of that settlement is a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah. But at the same time, I would feel like, so you're telling me two grand juries found what he did to me not right.
Yeah.
Or okay.
Or not illegal. Not okay, but not illegal.
Not illegal.
Yeah. I don't know how. They may be privy to more information than what we have. I can't figure it out either.
How quick does all of this go away for Deshaun Watson?
As soon as he starts throwing touchdown passes.
It's about it, isn't it?
I mean, Ray Lewis was on trial for killing a guy. Do we ever bring that up anymore?
No, because he won. Once he started winning, it was like, you're telling me you think he, oh yeah, like he would do that. He's a God-fearing man.
I mean, Kobe Bryant essentially gave a lot of money to a young lady in Aspen, Colorado for that thing to go away. That doesn't come up very much anymore.
No. No, and the sad fact is, I absolutely love him as an athlete.
I do too. Same thing with Tiger Woods. Love him as an athlete. Did some pretty, now I don't think Tiger was ever accused of any, you know, Tiger was a bad husband and a bad father, but.
Well, I remember Glory Allred.
Was there any illegal issues with Tiger? I can't remember.
I remember, there were, because Glory Allred was representing one of the women.
So, but regardless, Tiger Woods is a beloved athlete. And I'm sure Deshaun Watson, if he continues to throw touchdowns and win games 3-4 years ago, this will all get swept under the rug as well.
Well, he'll be back on Sunday. We'll see how he's received.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Mark's hanging out with us from Wasatch Medical. And Mark, if you're struggling with ED, and there's a lot of guys out there listening that are, they don't want to take the blue pill anymore. They certainly don't want surgery or needles. There's a way to not just treat the problem, but to actually fix the problem.
Absolutely. And that is acoustic wave therapy. This is a breakthrough technology in the treatment of the root cause of ED at Wasatch Medical Clinic. This is a way, guys, where you can ditch the pills. You don't have to worry about those. The way this works, it's non-invasive. That's the first thing you need to know. There's no pain involved. There's no downtime involved. Small device is placed on the skin, and that delivers gentle pressure waves to the blood vessels, helps to open up those blood vessels. And that, for most guys, is the problem, the root cause problem of ED. It's a lack of blood flow. So now you get the blood flowing where and when you need it the most, and you get the spontaneity back into the relationship as well.
And you can get that blood flow tested. You can find out exactly what's going on, meet with a physician, and some other goodies. Obviously, all for free.
Oh, absolutely. So, guys, yeah, so you get the blood flow ultrasound. Doctor will be able to tell you whether or not blood flow is an issue for you. If it is, then you can decide whether you want to move forward with the treatments or not. But here's the deal. Call now. 801-901-8000. Give us a call right now at Wasatch Medical Clinic. You will get the exam, the assessment, and the blood flow ultrasound absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom. That's one you guys are really going to like, but you need to call us now, 801-901-8000.
801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again,
championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Tap on three. One, two, three. Tap.
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Hands and Scotty here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, breaking news. Did Hugh Freeze end up taking the Auburn job?
Looks like it. Brett McMurphy's reporting it.
There it goes. Hugh Freeze on his way to Auburn. Have fun with that.
Did you see that news reporter that's just getting destroyed for reporting that Lane Kiffin was going to be leaving?
Lane has just sunk his teeth into that poor guy, sending tweet after tweet after tweet.
I wonder if that guy's going to make it out of this.
Probably not.
Sports reporter, news sports reporter.
Yeah. I think actually sports director for a TV station out there.
Is that what he is?
Yeah.
Decided that he was going to run with, he claims, two separate sources that told him Lane Kiffin was going to be taking that Auburn job. Said that it was done. In fact, said that he will be announcing it on Friday, and this is going back 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin retweeted that and said, this news to me. And then Lane Kiffin signs an extension with Ole Miss. These things are difficult. Scotty, you and I know it.
Yeah.
How many times have we had news in our hands? And we sit there, we talk with each other and back and forth. Should we talk about this? Should we tweet it? Should we run with it? And how many times did we not run with the news that we had from maybe one source or two? We didn't run with it. And the next thing you know, that person changes their mind and so glad we didn't do that.
No, many, many times. And look, I'll just, you know, I'll be honest. Look, I've been burnt by people in the past and it stinks and it sucks. And then you get to the, and, you know, that was, you know, a long time ago. And now you get to a point where you're just like, you know what? I know what's going to go on. If I have a pretty good feeling, I'm just going to sit on it and let it see how it plays out. And sometimes you're like, afterwards, you're like, oh, shoot, I should have ran with that because that's what happened. And then there's other times you're like, ooh, boy, I'm glad I did not run with that because that would have ended poorly.
That's happened many times to me.
Yeah.
Many times. So that thing, obviously, well off base. And now Hugh Freeze signing as the – Hugh Freeze just got a massive contract
extension
from Liberty.
At Liberty, $4 or $5 million. But here's the thing. Auburn just hired a guy who lost by 35 to New Mexico State on Saturday. New Mexico State beat them, 49-14?
That's right.
Not New Mexico, New Mexico State, independent, really not very good team. I mean, they are bad, 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 bad.
And they whipped them.
And they whooped them good.
I wonder if Hugh Freeze was already physically and mentally gone from that. Do you think that that was... Do you think this contract and negotiation and conversation came down before?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Probably a couple weeks before that. Because we've known that Lane Kiffin either turned down the job or wasn't given the job.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
I think Lane Kiffin probably turned it down. I think I think Lane Kiffin was probably offered and Lane said, no thanks.
How funny. I feel like Lane Kiffin could be pretty spiteful. How funny if he turned it out on purpose just to really stick it to that sports director.
Just that.
Just to get him fired, essentially.
Ole Miss has their guy because that guy anyways. Wanted to jump out in front of things. I could see it.
Well, and here's, you know, if you're Lane Kiffin, you're at Ole Miss, you're making tons of money, but it's also a really fun place to coach. Like, and I mean, expectations are high, but they're not crazy high. Auburn wants you to win a national championship now. You go there.
Auburn's fired really good coaches.
And their boosters are running rampant. I mean, it is the inmates are running the asylum there. Where you can hang out at Ole Miss, you make a ton of money, you go 9-3, 8-4, people are going to be fine, you'll be all right, hotty-totty all day long, everything's fine. And you could be there for 15, 20 years and still make $6-7 million a year. I guess he just signed an extension. I don't know what it's going to be, but I guarantee it's way north of $5 million.
Lane Kiffin,
yeah. That was the news that not only is he staying, but he signed a big fat extension there, too.
It was 7 years, and it was a big dollar.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze taking that Auburn job. You could have stayed at Liberty and kept Liberty. You could have made $4 or $5 million a year. What was it, $5 million a year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Four and a half or something?
It was somewhere in the 4 to 5 range.
You could have stayed at Liberty. Get 7-8 wins a year. They keep paying you, extending you until you're done coaching. Now you're going to go take this Auburn job. You're going to be out in 2 years. I don't, maybe he's got good intentions. Maybe he's thinking, I could draw the type of talent I need to go win a national championship. Maybe Hugh Freeze wants to go win a national championship. He probably could do that at Auburn if he was really able to establish things there. Auburn has shown that they could be a national champion.
That extension moves his set from 7.25 annually to 9 million, roughly the 9 million range.
For who?
For Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Yeah, they paid Lane big
a lot
money.
Of money.
Yeah. All right, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Mark's hanging out, waiting patiently as we randomly talk about Lane Kiffin and where he's going. But you know, honestly, that is big news in the world of college football because Hugh Freeze will go to Auburn. He'll be there for 3 years. He'll win probably 8 to 9 games, and he'll be fired in 3 years, and they'll do it all over again. All right, Mark, I know there's a lot of guys out there that are looking for opportunities to fix the ED issues, and they may not be in like, you know, they may be 75-80% of where they once were, and they're thinking, okay, well, it's, you know, not what it was like when I was in my 20s, but we're okay. But the sooner you get it addressed, the better off you're going to be instead of waiting another 10 years and it being a whole lot worse.
Yeah, it doesn't go away, guys. So if you're one of those guys that, two buckets here. Some guys just sweep it under the rug. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to accept that they have an issue. And the other guys are out there. They've been taking the pills for a long time. And, of course, those pills have issues. They only treat the symptoms. They don't treat the root cause. They also can come with side effects. And in addition to that, definitely some timing issues as well. So the planning is there, but the spontaneity isn't. At Wasatch Medical Clinic, we have a breakthrough treatment for the root cause of ED, and that is called acoustic wave therapy.
801-901-8000, no needles, no surgery, no little blue pills. It's a painless procedure. It has an end date, and if you call now, you can get that free assessment too.
Absolutely. So guys, know this, that there is no pain with this acoustic wave therapy. It is a non-invasive procedure, small device placed on the skin that delivers gentle pressure waves to the blood vessels, helps to open up the blood vessels. That gives you an increase in blood flow where and when you need it the most. Call now. You're going to get the blood flow assessment. You're going to get the exam, the assessment, and the blood flow ultrasound absolutely free. In addition to that, a gift which can produce rapid results in the bedroom. So call now, guys. Don't put this off any longer. The number 801-901-8000. Again, 801-901-8000.
801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.